Okay, guys. This is for you, this bit. There's a song that begins, if you want to go to heaven when you die. If you want to go to heaven when you die. And we're going to be thinking about that for the next few weeks, because somebody, when they put a wee notice into our box, said that they wanted me to talk about in church heaven, on what happens when we die. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about that. So this is the beginning bit of it. Who gets to heaven? And this song begins, if you want to go to heaven when you die, right? And it ends up saying, you've got to support Partick Thistle, right? Because and it's one of the songs they sing at Fir Hill, if you want to go to heaven when you die. There's only one reason that you could possibly go to heaven, and that's supporting the Giants. It's utter rubbish, really. It's complete rubbish, I hope. Anyway, but it does ask a question. If you want to go to heaven when you die, what does Jesus say about us going to heaven and us having eternal life? And Jesus very clearly says this, if you believe in me and if you trust your life to me, then you're going to go to the place where I come from and where I belong, which is heaven. A reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, this is a chapter which is well known in the Bible, and one from in which many people would be able to quote verbatim. However, it's probably one of these passages that, although we know it, we perhaps don't understand it as well as we think we do. So we're beginning this reading by asking the question, if heaven is the place to which we are called as people beyond death, how do we get there? What is the qualification for it, if you like? Jesus speaking. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, and their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Amen. Well, I listen every Saturday. I'm at Fir Hill to the several hundred voices that constitute the Firhill Choir. Gosh, that's a real misnomer. But anyway, listen to the several hundred singing, "If you want to go to heaven when you die." And it constantly kind of strikes me that at the heart of the human spirit is a desire, a deep desire, that this is not and should not be the end of our existence. And that somehow there is a life beyond this life. But how can we be sure of that? And how can we be sure that we will have that life? Well, I think that if we go to this passage here, Jesus speaks very plainly and very clearly and very directly to us. And what I want us to do is simply to do a Bible study of the passage. In other words, let's look at it, understand what it says, and we will be left with a clear understanding of what Jesus says on this vital issue. And he begins in verse 12 of John chapter 3 by challenging people when he says, "If you don't believe me," he says, "when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me when I tell you about heavenly things?" And here's the crucial issue. Here's the crux of the matter as far as we are concerned and as far as Jesus is concerned. Do we truly believe what Jesus says as it is recorded for us in the New Testament? But it seems to me sometimes that we can be a bit choosy about what we want to believe when we listen to the words of Jesus and what we choose not to believe. And so Jesus is challenging us here in this passage, and he's saying to us, "Do you really believe what I'm saying? Are you taking seriously my words? Are they resonating with you in such a way that they're gripping you and clearly directing you? Or are you choosing not to believe me? Do you truly believe me?" says Jesus. Now that's our first question. Do you truly believe me? And then Jesus opens up his argument by saying to the people who are listening to him that he has come to bring a different perspective on life. He's saying to them, "I am coming to give you a heavenly perspective in life." And what he's saying to them later on is this: nobody who has ever died and gone ahead has ever come back to speak to us. And of course, that's one of the things that we complain about. We say, "Well, if only somebody would come back and tell us." And what Jesus is saying is, maybe nobody's come back who's died, but I have come as one who has lived in that existence to tell you about it and to direct you to it. And he's saying to us that he comes with a different perspective from ourselves. He comes because he understands what he's speaking about. And he has a clear understanding of where he's been and where he's come from. And now he's come to share that knowledge and that experience with us. People may not have come back from death to speak to us, but I have come from heaven itself, and I'm able to speak to you about these things. And if you're not listening to me and you're not hearing that, you will never understand the heart of God or the heart of the Christian message. Very clear what he's saying to these people in that situation. And then Jesus moves on in the passage to speak about a prediction of his own ultimate destiny. And he does so partly from the perspective of the Old Testament. He says to the Jews who are listening to them, do you remember when Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness? Then the Son of Man, he says, I must in a similar way be lifted up. Now, he was referring to his crucifixion. And he's pointing out to them, as he predicts his death, that that will be central to our salvation. And then here is what he says. So that on the basis of what I will do for you through my death, everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. There's the crux. There is the heart of the message. There is the core of Jesus' teaching for us. There is the gospel summed up in one verse. Notice clearly, he does not say everyone will have eternal life. He says everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. Now you might say, well, that's not fair. Right? And I don't like that. I want everyone to have eternal life. Well, we'll look at that in just a wee minute. But you might not think it's fair, and I might not want it to be that, but that's what Jesus says it is. But listen further as he goes on to that wonderful verse 16 that we probably, well, when I say we probably all learned in Sunday school, I never went to Sunday school in my life, but for those of you that went to Sunday school, you probably learned this. Or if you ever watched a World Cup football match, you probably at least saw John 3:16 being held down in banners somewhere in the World Cup. He follows on by saying this, for this is how God loved the world. If you want evidence that God loves the world, and we do want evidence, when we see the insanity of our world, my goodness, the news makes depressing listening to and watching sometimes, doesn't it? Every single day, somebody's blowing somebody up somewhere. It really, really, really depresses us. And we start to wonder, where is God in all this? And here is a banner that stands over all of that and says, God does love the world. He does. What's the evidence of that? The evidence of God's love is the gift that he gave to the world. I sometimes, and I suppose many people do, wonder just how much your parents loved you. Because I was brought up, and I'm sure many like me, brought up by parents that were not demonstrative. They never hugged, and they certainly never said, I loved you. In fact, I can't ever remember hearing either of my parents say that to me. Now, does that mean that they didn't love me? And maybe am I looking for the wrong things? Am I looking for merely externals by asking that question? Or does the fact that they cared for me and they nurtured me and they did so many things for me not show evidence of the gift that they gave to me of themselves in so, so many different ways? And God comes to us and God says to us here, or Jesus says to us here, the gift that God gave to the world that is evidence of his love for the world is his only son, Jesus Christ. There's his gift. And then God challenges the world and says to the world, what will you do with this gift? I'm offering it to you, but it's your choice what you do with it. And again he says in verse 16, as he says in verse 15, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. In other words, the gift is eternal life. Jesus Christ is the gift, therefore he is eternal life. And therefore, if we receive that gift, then we receive the greatest blessing that we can ever have. And along with that, God says, I have no desire, he says, to judge the world. I have no desire to bring my judgment upon a world that richly sometimes deserves it. Linda and I were watching a film the other night, The Life of Martin Luther King. And gosh, I think we fell out about it several times as we watched it. Because as Linda watched it, she watched this marvelous man involved in this resistance. But it was non-violent resistance. And as I watched these people treat the black people of America, and I hate using that definition and that term in such an awful way, I just wanted them to rise up and really aggressively deal with those people. I wanted them to express their anger and put them down for the way in which they were being put down. But God didn't come into the world through Jesus Christ to put people down, and he didn't come into the world to judge people. He had another way, and his way was to offer to the world a gift. A gift that could change people's lives and destinies forever. But it's a gift that has to be received and a choice that has to be made by people. Paul himself says that God has no desire to judge and to condemn the world. But people condemn themselves by their action. And then in verse 18 he says there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. And notice what he says at the very end. That the reason why people choose not to believe in Jesus Christ and to take a step into the light, to come to the light, as it says, is because they love the darkness more than they love the light. Now that, my friends, is a statement of reality about the way in which so many people in our world choose to live. They choose darkness rather than the light. They make a choice. They banish God from their lives. They exclude God from their decisions. They exclude the gift that God so clearly holds out before them in Jesus Christ and say, I don't want it. It's not for me. And God's grace is turned away and turned back. And the gift of eternal life is refused rather than received. And Jesus Christ is ignored rather than embraced. So the question again that my friends at Firhill ask, do you want to go to heaven when you die, is answered thus. Yes, I do. And how can I get there? How can I be sure? I can only know that through coming to Jesus Christ, who is offered to me as God's greatest gift. And if I believe in him, and if I give my life to him, and if I trust my whole existence to him, then I know that I have eternal life. And eternal life begins now. Many of our members have died recently, sadly. And I would say of all of them that the words that we should always use with regard to them is not that they have died, but rather that they go on living because they are experiencing eternal life, something that begins when you believe and something that never ends. Never-ending life, whatever that means. And we'll try and tease that out in the time that lies ahead of us as we move in particular towards Easter. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What a statement. What a hope. What a promise. What a gift. Amen. Leave this place in faith and in the knowledge that through Jesus Christ you have the gift of eternal life. Leave this place in peace, knowing that all is well with you and God, your Heavenly Father. Leave this place knowing that you go with the mercy and the grace of God into the world, and may the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us and remain with us forevermore.